Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, I guess I'm kind of being tongue-in-cheek. I mean, I love New Mexico. I know you do, too. Our children, many of them have moved out of state because there's not a lot of opportunities here job-wise and other kinds of things. We'd love for them to come back. When they do come back, like my kids are going to come back for Christmas. They're going to do a little skiing. I know yours are going to do the same thing. So this is a place that you can do wonderful things, recreation. But here's the harsh part of it. You park your car, and you're not sure if the car is going to get broken into while you're skiing or something like that. That's the part that is tough. And I know our tourism department and economic development people and everybody are trying to brand New Mexico, but there's certain things they can't really overcome either.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, this is one of my recurring, I don't know if it's a pet peeve, but every time there's a new administration elected anywhere, city, state, what have you, they often start talking about our brand, Albuquerque's brand or New Mexico's brand, and usually it's in the context of we don't have a brand or we need a better brand. And, you know, I do this for a living, so it's a little bit frustrating for me because we have a brand. You can't help but have a brand. Everybody has a brand. Every company has a brand. It's basically the sum total of everybody's impressions of what you are. And when it comes to, when it comes to a company, it's hard to control your brand. You could have all the best advertising in the world, and if people are reviewing you poorly on Yelp, well, guess what? You're not going to have a very good brand. And so the same thing is true with a city or a state. We think about, you know, we need to get a budget increase for the Department of Tourism, or we need to spend more money doing something, you know, to make the city's brand better. When in reality, Breaking Bad has done more to affect our brand than any money we've ever spent. There's an argument to be had about that. I'm on the negative side. Most people are on the positive side. If there's a front page article in the New York Times about a police shooting, for example, as there was, that you just can't overcome, you know, with any amount of spending. So the city and the state's brand is the sum total of all of the impressions out there in the world, most of which we can't control. So with what limited funds we do have and the efforts we do make, we want to put the best face on our city and our state. We want to show show it off in the best way we can. But there's so much we can't control. And if you're really concerned about moving up those lists and about affecting our brand, the thing to do is to work on those things. Let's not have the all-time record for murders in Albuquerque. Right. Let's start there.
Well, let me ask you the general question. Do lists matter?
Oh, they matter a lot. And this is one of the frustrating things about them is some lists are better than others. But lists matter because it's how people compare things. You know, when you're considering going on vacation somewhere, you might pull up a list of the best beaches or the best mountains. Or if you're considering moving your company, you're going to pull up a list. And there's plenty of those. We can talk about those things. The highest clicked upon things in social media tend to be lists. BuzzFeed will put out a list, you know, of the five craziest surfing tacos. Mm-hmm. I don't know. People like to click on them. And so lists matter a lot, especially in this day and age of social media. We shouldn't obsess over them because there are literally thousands. There's a list for everything. Some are better than others, but they do matter. And I think we pay attention to them because how we're perceived matters.
Well, you've already mentioned social media, which I know almost nothing about. You know, I'm still calling Facebook Faceplant and my kids laugh, but truly I think that I see more people faceplant when it comes to social media than it impacting them in a positive way. So I say that tongue in cheek, but also I'm not really joking. I mean, it seems more dangerous than it is helpful.
It's people like to share on social media, and lists are fun to share. Some of the most forwarded and liked things that you can find on there are the funny lists about, you know, 10 things you can do with green chili in Albuquerque, or here's how to know that you were raised in Albuquerque, right? There's five sayings or something. That stuff gets shared a lot, and social media just adds fuel to the fire of on the positive side or the negative side.
Now, are there professionals that are manipulating that? I shouldn't say manipulation. I didn't mean that to have a negative context. Are there people doing social media on behalf of New Mexico?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And in fact, my company had a contract with the city a few years ago. It was a really interesting construct. What we did was we curated positive content that we found online, and then we created some positive content, and we had a group of people that agreed to share it. And it was in their own voice. They could choose to share any individual posts or not. So it wasn't something nefarious. We just basically coordinated a bunch of people and said, hey, if you want to see Albuquerque's reputation get better, we're going to send you some stuff that would help. Consider putting it on your feed or on your Twitter account. And it was really remarkable. It's amazing how fast you can scale, outreach when you do that. Because if you have 500 followers, and the next person has 500 followers, you know, before long, you're getting into the thousands of followers. And those messages are highly credible because the friends that follow you on Facebook like you and they trust you generally. So if you post something nice, they're likely to engage with it. So absolutely, there are, I mean, everything on social media that's branded from a company is obviously being done by professionals. So much that you see, so much has a business interest in mind.
Well, we're going to be back in our next segment to talk about the important lists. And Steve McKee is with us in studio. We hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ava Furman Rose. And just between you and me, I think we're finally getting Grandpa to relax a little and not work so hard.
He's so old.
Who's old?
Not you, Grandpa, that's for sure.
Hey, Ava, Stella, watch your step. I just finished mopping and I've got to get back in the kitchen after I finish busting these tables.
I give up. Maybe you can get Grandpa to slow down. Come into Monroe's and give it a try, please. Monroe's on Osuna in the Heights. And coming soon, the new Monroe's downtown at 4th and Mountain.
Monroe. Our family and staff at Water Extraction Experts would like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. May your Christmas be filled with peace, joy, and the true meaning of the season. God bless.
Let's look back on an important day in Israel's history.
Originally, God promised the children of Israel a significant landmass of 300,000 square miles. That's what God said he would give to them.
Now Skip Heitzik highlights the glory days of Israel.
At their very pinnacle under King David and King Solomon, when the kingdom was expanded and they became very strong, Israel only occupied 30,000 square miles.
Hotspot. Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
God's promises must be appropriated. They do no good just lying on the pages of your Bible. Oh, you can underline them and you can memorize them. Good for you. Got to say, they're mine. I'm going to walk in them.
Subscribe to the Skip Heitzik YouTube channel. And we close out with this.
All that God has for you is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the plan God has for your life. Be sure that you follow that plan.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
The founder of McKee Wallwork and Company and the author of When Growth Stalls and Power Branding, two books that you ought to look up if you're interested in branding and advertising and marketing. Steve McKee, my good friend. Steve, you just shared with me off air that you went out and ran this morning at 18 degrees.
18 degrees with a slight breeze.
Now, why would anyone run? I know all the runners out there.
Because Christmas is coming.
Oh, so you got to slim down.
You got to slim down before you start looking like Santa Claus.
Now, I can see going to Coronado or Windrock or Cottonwood and walking around indoors, but running outside in 18 degrees, wow, that is too cold.
Well, when I get to be your age, maybe I'll
see. That hurt. That was deadly. All right. Well, Steve, I wanted to ask you about, again, introducing for people that just might have joined us here this afternoon. We're talking about New Mexico being at the bottom of a lot of good lists and at the top of a lot of bad lists. What are the important lists that we really need to be thinking about?
I think there's a handful. Let me qualify this by saying there's a group that publishes a lot of lists. It's called Wallet Hub. And it's not an important list. It's kind of a fly-by-night organization. But what makes it important is that it ends up in the newspaper. So in some respects, if it gets published, it's an important list. But setting that aside, there's a handful of lists that are very well respected and that matter. And you want to put them in a category there. They would be called the best states for business lists. So Forbes puts one out, U.S. News and World Report, Site Selection Magazine, Chief Executive Magazine, Kiplinger's. These are respected organizations. And every year they put out reports for the best states for business. There's a couple of others. The Tax Foundation puts one out. And one of the reasons that we talked about doing this show was we just ended up at the very bottom of an important list from a group called 24/7 Wall Street. So let me read to you what 24/7 Wall Street, what they do. This is their characterization of what they do. They say they provide insightful analysis and commentary for U.S. and global equity investors. Okay, so it's a pretty sophisticated audience. They put out a report on the best states for business every year, and we came in November. It was published, or maybe late October. We came in 50th on that report. They look at a dozen socioeconomic measures, from unemployment to poverty rates to our GDP growth, and we came out 50th. That's a really important list, and that's really bad news. Some of those things are not controllable in the short term, but in the long term, they all are. And in my mind, those are the most important lists. On the U.S. News and World Report, Best States for Business, most recently we were ranked 46th, which if you feel good about is part of the problem. It's like 46th.
Yeah.
Well, or not 50th. And those are the lists that matter so much, because whether you're considering moving a company here or opening a factory here, or even if you're just a professional who understands that these lists exist and you're consulting them, or they come across your desk in the course of business, they're seen as very independent. They're seen as very reliable. And when we consistently rank in the bottom quintile, sometimes at the very bottom, that's a problem.
As a businessman and doing what you do, you work with a lot of businesses. And I'm assuming some from New Mexico, and maybe even some that used to be in New Mexico and have moved. What's so harsh about the New Mexico business environment?
That's the $64,000 question. I mean, the biggest issues we have, if you look at the list, and I've done some analysis on the big best states for business list in terms of sorting out their criteria, where we tend to perform very poorly begins with our tax code, which I don't think you could meet a person who would defend our tax code. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It's messed up. There's historical reasons for that. We have a gross receipts tax that dates back to the post-war years, when the federal government was and is doing a lot of business here, and you can't tax the federal government, and so we put in a gross receipts tax. There's reasons why it exists. But the tax climate here just holds us back. It just does. That's a state legislative issue. There has to be political will to want to change it. And as you can imagine, whenever you change anything in the tax code, somebody's ox is going to get gored, and lobbyists come out in force. And whether you're lobbying for an industry or for a trade association, or nobody wants to be hurt by it. And I think we need to keep the bigger picture in mind and look at the overall economy. But that's sort of a big group of issues there. And you could call it a group of issues because there's a lot to the tax code. A second major factor is our regulatory environment, which companies look at, beginning with right to work, you know, whether we're a right to work state or not. 30% of companies immediately cross you off the list if you're not.
And we're not right now.
And we're not. And it's kind of a political football, which is silly, because our private sector union employment is like 3%. It's very small. And you can make a very strong case based on what has happened in other states that if we had a right to work law in place, it would actually help the unions to thrive, because by attracting more work, it bids up wages and gives the laborers more power. And that has happened in other states. Nevertheless, that's one issue. But there's other factors of the regulatory environment that, again, nobody would defend it in general. But when you go about changing a specific regulation or two, you know, it gets into politics again. And then the third big area would be education. And many of these lists, there are education specific lists, and we do very poorly on that. And so if you're considering moving here, taxes are not good. Education system isn't good. Wages tend to be lower, just because of the cost of living. And so you got kids, you want to put them in private school, you know, all those considerations enter in. Thank God we have the wonderful, natural advantages that we have. The lifestyle here is really, really fabulous. And, that can overcome a lot for a lot of people. It keeps a lot of people here. But taxes, regulations, education, We could go from number 46 on U.S. News and World Report list to number 16 overnight. That might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but not a lot, because it's basically a big spreadsheet.
Right.
And they collect all the data. And if you change those data points, boom, up the list you go. Why we don't, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to bring up a subject that's off script today, and let's talk about crime for just a second. And we're going to have, you know, whole shows to devote to this, but I've met with APD officials, and APD officials are very optimistic. You know, Chief Geyer of the Albuquerque Police Department and his staff, he was, of course, appointed by the new mayor, and they've done a lot of reforms. But without anyone from APD ever telling me this, this is coming from retired police officers. They just simply say flat out, we got to get the DOJ out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started doing some research on communities like New Orleans. New Orleans is faced with exactly the same problems we have with recruiting police officers and stuff, because the DOJ is in their police department. Now, were reforms needed? Were there issues going on in the police department? Well, you know, I'm not here to say, you know, point the finger at anybody. All I can tell you is that they've done a lot to correct the problems that they thought they had. And now they're having a lot of trouble recruiting, because apparently, according to these officers that I've talked with that are former employees of the Albuquerque Police Department, formerly sworn officers, they're telling me that the amount of paperwork and things that you do proportional to other departments that are not, that don't have the DOJ in their pocket, is 30% of what the guys in APD have to do. And they actually feel like some of the rules, some of the regulations, some of the attitudes are endangering their lives in the street. So APD has increased salaries. They've increased training. They've made a lot of good steps. They've got great recruiting classes. I understand they're graduating a higher percentage of the people that go through the academies. So they're doing a lot of really positive things, but they've got a long way to go, because I understand we're 500-600 officers away from where they would like to be. And they're pretty much only bringing up, you know, 30 to 40 people every year through a particular academy.
Yeah, it takes a lot to recruit and train effective police officers. And it just points out that the crime issue is not, I mean, God bless our police force. If we were fully staffed, it would help prevent crime, because they would be patrolling more. Mm. But when you think about it, police are usually called after the crime.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we are, and this was cited in the 24/7 Wall Street, second highest violent crime rate in the country, more than double the national average. Mm. Those issues are caused by certain things. So why is violent crime so high? It's not because we don't have enough police officers. That plays a small role, but it's not because of that. Part of it is judicial reform that we need to, you know, lock people up, bad people, keep them up. I know the district attorney is working on prioritizing those cases, and a lot of it's related to education, job opportunities, all the things that we have been talking about, and of course, family formation, which we can talk about on this radio station, which is really the number one issue.
Right. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about this afternoon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back with Steve McKee right after these messages.
Hi, this is Sarah Crutchfield with High Desert Hospice. Our family at High Desert Hospice would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Online at highdeserthospice.care. That's highdeserthospice.care. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
At Bosky HVAC and Roofing, our priority is investing in our community, and we don't want to forget those less fortunate. May your home be filled with joy this Christmas season. Our family and staff wish you and your family a blessed and wonderful Christmas.
Who is your source? This is Roger Patterson with a Minute of Vision for Life. One of the biggest mistakes that married people make is that they view their spouse as their source for joy, peace, and happiness. When this happens, their relationship breaks down when their spouse fails to continually pour into them those key elements that gave their relationship that emotional spark. Did you know that God never intended for you to view your spouse as the source for joy, peace, and happiness?
God's intent was to provide community and companionship. He didn't try to give the man to woman or woman to man to make them the source of joy, peace, and happiness. No, only He can do this, because He's the source of these things. My favorite verse in the New Testament is Romans 15:13. It states, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So put your trust in Him, so He can fill you.
Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Steve McKee in studio with me this afternoon here on ABQ Connect, and we're talking about lists and how New Mexico so very frequently appears at the bottom of good lists and at the top of bad lists. Steve, let's talk about some good lists and some positive things for New Mexico.
We're on a lot of good lists, and I have to disclaim here, Visit Albuquerque, which is the destination marketing organization for Albuquerque, is a client of mine, longtime client. So I just want to set that out there, because I'm going to say what a good job they do. They really do a fabulous job. And we're at setting records in Albuquerque for tourism because of the heavy lifting they've done. And they curate a lot of the good lists. And it's really terrific, because not only do they look for lists that we're on, but they try to help publicize the lists that we're on. And you wouldn't believe, I brought a few in. It's just kind of remarkable. So you get a big hit, like USA Today says we're one of the 10, Albuquerque is one of the 10 best road trips you could take during the summer.
Wow.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, USA Today is a big publication. Travel Channel says we're one of the 10 most affordable family-friendly road trips. We're actually ranked number one on Movie Maker's list of the best places to live and work as a movie maker. And we've talked a little bit about that past.
Well, I just saw they're expanding their staff by another 20-30% with the New Mexico Film Office.
Well, Reader's Digest ranked us one of the 15 healthiest cities. We have terrific, as we've discussed, bike trails and hiking trails. And when I'm traveling around the country and I go for a run, it's remarkable. There's no sidewalks. I mean, we take a lot for granted here. And partly because of these lists, a lot of people want to visit here. And it's in many ways been propping up our local economy, because the tourism economy is doing so well. People are coming in hotels and they're spending money. And I credit Visit Albuquerque, also the New Mexico True campaign, which has been going for 8 or 9 years now. That kind of consistency is really important. And so, as I said, we were gifted those things by God, you know, our beautiful climate and mm-hmm. culture. But we're doing a good job of leveraging them and taking advantage of them. And there's a lot of enthusiasm. You know, if you're a beer drinker, there's a lot of microbreweries here, and they end up on a lot of lists.
There seems like there's one on every corner.
There are many, yeah. This is the oldest wine-growing region in the country, I understand, around Bernalillo. And so there are just a lot of wonderful things about where we live that get people to come visit here. If we could just convert them. Tanya Armenta, who's the CEO of Visit Albuquerque, always makes the point that every person that moves here or moves a company here was a tourist first, because they visited.
Well, I can tell you that as far as the game and fish department goes, I think they do a fabulous job, because, you know, fish habitat on our, you know, fly fishing streams and stuff in this state are amazing.
The other thing that is fabulous that you point that out is the water story in Albuquerque is remarkable. How the aquifer has recovered from, you know, 20 or so years ago when we were really worried about running out of water. The water story here is incredible, how we have reduced our use, the replenishment of the aquifer. And if we manage it correctly, we're never going to run out of water, which is a misnomer about Albuquerque, because some people think, you know, it's the desert. And that's, you know, you can credit the people in power for doing that. Probably partly because nobody's against it and it's not really a political thing.
Right.
You know, there are people who get elected to manage that stuff, but
But really you're extending a compliment to our citizens, though, because they're being frugal about watering their lawns correctly. Of course, we all hear the, you know, water by the numbers right. advertising and stuff, and it really makes sense. It's very simple, mm-hmm. and it seems to be working.
Just as 20, 30 years ago, we used to have brown no-burn nights.
Yeah.
Remember the no-burn nights?
I do.
And there was a light on the top of St. Joseph Hospital or whatever it was, don't burn tonight. Those happen very infrequently now because we've changed our behavior. And that's the beauty of our community. You know, it's a wonderful community and we care about each other. And when we set our mind to something, we can change it, which is why being at the bottom of all these lists, everybody complains about it. You'll always hear all the politicians say, we're not going to be at the bottom of the list anymore. But you got to actually, do something substantial in order to turn that around. They're not going to do it just because we want them to.
Right. Typically a list, a negative list, are they taking annual numbers or are they taking data over a 5 or 6 year period? Are they taking data from 3 years ago?
Yeah, typically they're taking either annual numbers or numbers that don't change. So like, for instance, if they're looking at our tax climate, they just look at the tax rates and the type of taxes that we have. If they're looking at our unemployment rate or our school success rate, they're looking typically at annual numbers. There are a handful of lists that are, you know, over the past decade, they'll rank cities and states, and that can be problematic for us. But that's why I say we can move up the list so quickly of the best states for business, because those are driven. I mean, you know, crime rate is on there and you can't change that immediately and those sorts of things. But so much of those are driven by input factors that we could change with the stroke of a pen.
Now, I understand that Texas right now has the fastest growing business economy in the United States. They obviously have a tax structure
yep.
that's somehow advantageous. I do know one thing about residential real estate. I have a friend that just bought a home on 2 acres. About 3,800 square feet. The 2 acres is literally manicured grass. Almost looks like a giant, you know, golf course with a house right on top of the fairway. $250,000. That house in Albuquerque is $850,000 to $1.3 million.
Wow.
So why is the cost of living and why are those things so much less expensive in Texas?
It depends on where you go, obviously. In some places of Texas, it's less expensive. In some places, it's more. In some places of New Mexico, it's significantly less expensive.
Yes.
It has to do with supply and demand. And, you know, when the recession hit in 2009, our housing starts went almost to nothing. And it took a very long time. My understanding is that the home building community here is upbeat because they continue to get better, but we're still nowhere near.
Well, I just had John Garcia with the Home Builders of Central New Mexico in, and he told me that we're averaging right now a little bit over 60 permits a month. But Steve, I can tell you, because I was in the mortgage business in 2008, the 2 years prior to that, we were pulling 600 permits a month.
There you go. And the trend is worrisome because there was an article recently in the paper about this. The demographics of New Mexico, because we are losing millennials, and we can talk about that. There are lists for that. The baby boomers are aging. We are aging. We own our homes. And when it comes time to sell them, we could end up with a bit of a glut on the market. So whereas right now there might be a shortage, we could end up in a glut. All of it points out to the fact that growth, you're either growing or you're dying. And you don't want to grow too fast. People in Colorado would tell you it's a terrible place to buy a home in Denver right now. But you have to be growing. And currently, our economy is growing slightly. Our unemployment rate is actually 25% higher than the national average. So
it's a lot lower than it was.
It's a lot lower than it was, right. Yeah. So it's, again, a glass half full. But if you think it's a lot lower than it was, we're riding that national wave. But why are we 25% higher than the national average? That's not acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable. We should be at or above the national average in unemployment. But it's because of all these other factors. They all play out for another.
And you've mentioned that every time a public policy decision is made, people should consider how that makes New Mexico more competitive in the global economy.
That's right, because we are competing for our kids. We're competing for business investment. We're competing for everything. And you can't evaluate it in a vacuum. There are so many people and companies fleeing California right now because it's just a nightmare, and they're flying right over our state into Love Field and departing in Dallas or Austin or Houston, many of them in Arizona, some in Colorado.
I just can't help bring up that term sanctuary that seems to have permeated California, and now people are leaving in droves.
Well, the tax system, California is just really whacked out, but they're not coming here is my point. And we don't need them all to come here. We don't want them all to come here. Just a small fraction of them.
Yeah. Well, lots more with Steve McKee. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. More after these messages.
Hi, this is John Chitwood. All of us here at Southern Boulevard Automotive want to wish you a very Merry Christmas as we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ's birthday. And we want to wish you all a happy, holy day.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
In Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Brethren, let's always make room for others in Christ's love, especially for Christmas. Let no one you love be alone. Wishing you a very blessed Christmas from Elaine at Ramos Real Estate.
Hi, I'm John Erickson Tata, and if today you feel a little distant from God, if you are caught up in things of this world and feeling weary, a little out of focus spiritually, remember this. You are a co-heir with Christ, and one day all your labors will be rewarded. You are the bride of Christ, and one day His joy is going to so flood your heart you won't be able to stop the overflow. You'll be happily carried along on a wild and wonderful current of impossible pleasure. You are a citizen of heaven, and one day you will be completely enveloped in the love of God. So awesome, so sweet, so delightful, that you're going to jump up and down with your friends and families, clapping and exclaiming, oh, we knew it would be good, but not this good. Oh, friend, it's going to happen. It's your destiny. So please, today, if you are weary, remember who you are and where you are going.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Steve McKee in studio with me this afternoon, and we're talking about New Mexico being at the bottom of so many good lists and at the top of so many bad lists.
But, and at the top of some good lists.
And, so, and you've just mentioned a couple of those. How do we know if a list is legitimate?
If it's on Facebook, it's probably not. You can dive if you really care. You can explore the methodology behind any list. Generally speaking, a shortcut is if it's from USA Today or if it's from US News or it's from the Travel Channel or National Geographic, it's probably a reasonably good list because those brands don't want to risk their reputation. If it's from a list maker, if it's from BuzzFeed, it's just...
Somebody just made it up.
WalletHub, I'm not impressed. You go to the methodology if you really care. And I would say, if you're sharing a list for fun, it's fine. If you're sharing, five fun things to do in Albuquerque or what have you. If you're sharing a list that, especially if it presents negative news, and I should just point out on my social media feed, I never post anything negative about Albuquerque, New Mexico. I just feel obligated that we shouldn't do that. When we're talking amongst family, like ourselves, like here, we can be honest. Not that it's all bad, but we can be honest. But on social media, so many people follow you from around the country and so forth. I don't say anything negative. And so if you're considering posting something negative, I would just check the source, because there really is fake news, and I'm not using that in a political sense. It's on all sides of the spectrum, right? People just make stuff up, and they make stuff up to suit their purposes.
I've heard that 33 1/3% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln wrote that in his blog. There is one other good list that I wanted to mention, which recently came out. Inc. magazine published the 50 best U.S. cities for starting a business in 2020, and we made it. I think we were 49th, so pretty low. Nevertheless, it's good press. And they looked at job creation and population growth and the rate of entrepreneurship. And I think it's really reflective here of there is a burgeoning entrepreneurial vibe and community, and there are people really working on that. I give the folks at Albuquerque Economic Development a great deal of credit, Anne Marie Hinton and Gary Tonjes and the crew over there. So that's good news. We're only 49th, but we're on the list. It's Inc. magazine, so it is respected, and we need to cultivate more of this, even as we overcome the negative list.
Well, even now with the national laboratories that we have here and the offshoot businesses and things that support the laboratories, we have a lot of technology still in our state.
We do.
Could we really expand that if we really got after it?
There's so much opportunity. The Air Force Research Labs works to commercialize government research. It's a fabulous deal. They will pay you to turn a patent into an invention, and then you get to keep the intellectual property rights. They get lifetime use of it, and I'm probably butchering it, but basically that's the deal. The only trick is you kind of got to know the science. So if you're science inclined, if you have a science background, you could reach out to the Air Force Research Lab. We have contacts there. In fact, you should maybe have Mike Williams on your show, because that's what he does.
Yeah.
And so much opportunity. UNM, STC commercializes technology. The labs, the biggest challenge we have, and I've lived here for a very long time and looked at this a lot, is the science people at the labs don't really know how to get it out there into business. And the business people in the community don't really generally understand the science. So if you can bridge that gap, either by partnering with a scientist or having a scientific background yourself, I think there's tremendous opportunity there. If I had time and the inclination to start a new business, some sort of a startup, I'd want to explore that very much. It's just, it's waiting to be commercialized.
I remember, and I can't remember the years because they all blend together, but at one time out in Rio Rancho, there was a gentleman, Mr. Wall, who was running AmRep Corporation out there. And the guy brought in Olympus Corporation and HP, and somehow they made arrangements for those huge manufacturing companies to have land. And I guess the legislature cooperated in some tax incentives and some other things. And they built that whole community around a lot of manufacturing.
That's the difference. See, that's a great case in point, because you've got Rio Rancho versus Albuquerque. You've got Sandoval County versus Bernalillo County. And even in the same state, subject to the same state requirements and restrictions, Rio Rancho and Sandoval County historically has been very aggressive. And the reason the community has been booming is because of forward-thinking people who find a way.
Well, I understand in the news here in the last couple of days, a company called Caris Nuclear Energy is coming to the south side of Albuquerque. And they have a technology that they're going to develop here. And it's going to provide 65 pretty high-paying jobs. And so somebody's done a good thing to get them out here.
Yeah, there are good things happening. The speaking of lists, you know, we have a hidden treasure in the UNM School of Engineering. It's a great school, and it has intimate relationships with the national labs and the Air Force Research Lab. Wonderful opportunities. The trick is getting them on better lists and getting them to move up lists, because the list makers very often are in Philadelphia or New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And they're like, New Mexico what?
Well, I've seen New Mexico Tech has some pretty high
New Mexico Tech does a really good job with that. And so it can be done. It can be done. It's easier to do on an individual basis. I mean, my company has won the Southwest Small Agency of the Year twice. Mm. I just got that plug in there.
Yeah, get that plug in.
That's a very important list to us. Because when you care about your industry or your company, you can focus on it. It's more difficult to do for a city or a state because there are so many variables.
Well, we can't help but talk about our children. Now, our children are more, I guess, Gen X than millennials. But millennials are not ranking New Mexico real high on the list of places they want to be, right?
Well, this is the thing that I'm most concerned about, is there was a group called the Metropolis Group that put out a list called the best states for millennials. And New Mexico was listed 51st. It's not easy to do.
That's
in a country
tough.
With 50 states. They included Washington, D.C. in
that
there.
That could mean the millennials aren't good at math.
It could. The top 10 states where millennials are moving, according to the Census Bureau, number 2 is Texas. Number 3 is Colorado. Number 10 is Arizona. So sitting here in this wonderful studio, if we got in a car and drove 4 hours in any direction, we would be in a top 10 state for millennials. And that's what a lot of our kids are doing. They're driving up to Denver. They're moving over to Phoenix. They're hitting Dallas or Houston or Austin. And it's these rankings again. That's why these lists are so very important. Because if you're graduating college, or you're about to get married, and whether you live in Albuquerque or whether you live anywhere else, you're like, where are we going to put down roots, right? I got two job offers. I got one from Sandia National Labs, and I've got one from Lawrence Livermore, and I got one in, you know, the Research Triangle, North Carolina. And you start Googling and you pull up all these lists and you go, well, huh, that job at the lab sounds pretty good, but New Mexico's the 51st best state for millennials. And you start digging underneath the surface and you say, we have the second highest crime rate. And before long, North Carolina's sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
That's why these lists are important.
Yeah, these lists. Well, we got more to talk about with Steve McKee. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We've got a couple segments left with Steve. We'll be right back.
A silent night, a star above, a blessed gift of hope and love. Merry Christmas to you and your whole family from the staff here at Christian Brothers Automotive in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Power Ford is known for giving you a better deal and a better experience, but we're also known for having one of the largest and most diverse selections of pre-owned vehicles in the state. Plus, every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. That's right. Every vehicle, new and pre-owned, gets 100,000 worry-free miles of protection. Visit MyPowerFord.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day, I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say. I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are talking about lists and the way New Mexico seems so much to appear on the bottom of good lists and at the top of bad lists. Steve, when you're looking at a list or you're looking at some statistic about New Mexico, and I'm always fascinated with how many people mention Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we're going to have, it's going to be canonized one of these days, what Google says, just like the Bible, because we're all going to it like crazy. But just like the Bible says that we should be as a Berean.
Yes.
We should not just listen to what people say, but we should check out the word ourselves. That's not necessarily an easy thing to do when it comes to a list. How do you do that?
No, it's not. And just as a editorial aside, Google is, in one respect, quite the opposite of the Bible, in that it is not trustworthy and it is not driven by people with the best of intentions. Mm. Google has some issues. They used to have a corporate motto, don't be evil, and they actually eliminated that motto. And I don't think it's because they made the decision to be evil,
right.
But I think it's telling that that's no longer a corporate motto. Generally speaking, if you can't easily find the methodology for a list, it's probably a bad list.
Mm.
If it's a good list, there's going to be a link. It's going to say see our methodology or a couple of clicks down the road. As I said, if it's from a brand name, you're probably okay. Although I will qualify this. In the age of the internet with social media and so forth, it's easy even for reputable publications, like local publications here, to do a quick poll of their readers. And they'll do a reader poll. They'll say, hey, here's a question. Everybody answer it. And that could be a Twitter poll. It could be on Instagram. It could be anything. And then they'll publish a pie chart next week with the results. That's a really bad practice. I don't think they're intending to do anything wrong, but by definition, that study is unscientific. Mm-hmm. It is by definition unscientific. And even though they have a little disclaimer that says not a scientific poll, when they publish a pie chart, people see the pie chart and they say, oh, that's the truth.
That's
so if you want to know, are we a Broncos state or a Cowboys state? Okay. Somebody could ask that question. Now that question
you'd
is really
happy. You'd have to be a pretty diehard Broncos fan to be a Broncos fan.
I'm a Broncos
today.
Fan.
See?
I hate to admit it.
Are you sticking with them?
I have to. But the point is, they could put a pie chart up, and this year it would say 65% Cowboys, 35% Broncos, maybe. That doesn't reflect anything but the view of a limited number of people who saw the poll. It's totally unscientific. And so we have to be really careful about that because so many polls, and in politics or the political or the public policy arena, there are very often people behind those polls that want to show a deceptive result.
Mm-hmm.
I've done enough research in my life to know that all research is flawed. It's just a matter of in what direction and to what extent. Even if you're trying to get an honest poll, you're going to make some mistakes. It's really easy to word a question in a way that leads the respondent, even if you're not intending to.
Yeah.
Because of the way you think. It takes great discipline and training to properly word a response. So if you're wondering at all about the methodology, explore it. You can go as deep as you want. You can go Alice in Wonderland on that. You know, who they sample and how they sample and all that stuff. Most people aren't going to do that. I'm kind of a geek.
Again, if the data's not there, it's probably not legitimate.
It's probably not legitimate and you probably shouldn't share it. And that, you know, it is also sort of a biblical admonition that, you know, if we're just spreading rumors and innuendo and hearsay and gossip, it's probably not a good thing for us to do.
Amen. There's a couple of lists that we appear on that you're concerned about. What are those?
Well, the millennials one is one that concerns me very much because it's sort of a summary list. But one that is before us, and we've talked about politics before and the reality of it, there are two that are – one is an actual an issue that's before us immediately, and that is the unfunded pension liabilities. We're 41st in the nation in terms of our pension obligations that we don't have the money to cover. I think we're $6 billion in the hole. That's all the state employees who have retired over the years who are counting on their pensions. And we have a giant hole, which is going to affect our credit rating long term. But more than anything, it would affect those people's security going forward. Now that we are currently flush with cash at the state level, we have an obligation. The state legislature and the governor has an absolute obligation to fix that. And it can be fixed. It's not that difficult. You don't even necessarily need to make up all $6 billion at once. You just set it. You make adjustments to set it on the proper course. There are some conversations being had about that. I'm encouraged for this upcoming legislative session. We need to hold them accountable because it's inexcusable nationally with our, national debt. I think we would all agree with that. At a state level, it's especially problematic because as states start to default, California is number 48. Illinois is number 47. These are big states. Mm. If they default on their pension obligations, we're going to have to make that up. The people in the other states of America.
The federal government will intervene.
The federal government, which is us.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is absolutely immoral and unacceptable and unfair. So that's one where we have to fix. A little bit broader one is we're ranked 49th in terms of the best and worst states at using taxpayer money in general. And that's a concern in general, but especially again with the budget surplus that we're expected to have this year and for the coming few years, it's so easy to spend other people's money. You know, if you're spending your own, it's a little bit of a different proposition. Mm-hmm. And when there's plenty of money to go around, I don't see us getting better without significant fiscal discipline, which is there are 113 people that matter. You know, there's a 70 House of people in the House, and there's 42 senators, and there's one governor. Those 113 people make these decisions.
So let's jump real quickly, Steve, to we've said this a million times. We have largely a faith-based audience here at KNKT. And if 50,000 of us would get out and vote, that would have a major impact on politics in the state of New Mexico.
It would. If 50 of us called the same legislator about any of these issues, that could swing that person. They listen. They do, especially if it's not a rote, if it's from your heart. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be smart. You just have to say, look, we can't have unfunded pension. We have to pay people their retirement. Fix it. It's true. We can have a tremendous impact. And that's one of the beauties of New Mexico. Try trying to turn around California, right, with all those people. Your voice is meaningless. But there are 113 people, as I said, in Santa Fe that really matter with respect to our public policy, and they will listen to us if we write them, call them, make our voice heard.
Well, we just had a recent municipal election, and in a lot of those election districts, people were elected with 100 votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, famously, with the first Nixon-Kennedy race, I think it was an average of one vote per district or something, where Kennedy beat Nixon. It matters. It matters. Don't try to game or, handicap it based on the numbers. It's our obligation. We are, citizens of our country. We've been given the right to vote. We have the right to vote. We protected the right to vote. And it's our obligation to get informed and to vote. And so here we go again, right? We're back to the same thing we always talk about. If we want to move up the good lists and down the bad lists, it's entirely up to us.
Yeah. Amen. Steve McKee, he is the local businessman, the founder of McKee Wallwork and Company, author of When Growth Stalls and Power Branding, two great marketing and advertising books. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We have a final segment with Steve, and we're going to talk about our state and how much money we're spending right now branding ourselves. We'll be right back.
Latitude's Neighborhood Market is more than just a gas station. Latitude stresses local convenience at grocery market prices. Locally owned and heavily invested in the community. Unlike the national competition, they support local church groups, schools, and service organizations. Come into a nice clean store with friendly faces to greet you. Then pick up a rewards passport to save even more on gas. And get reacquainted with what real convenience is all about. always open for you. Located in Rio Rancho, just across from Intel, or online at golatitudes.com.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
I needed to sell my father's house that he had lived in for 65 years. When I was working on the house, Dom stopped by and looked at it. He had the resources and people to help me get the house presentable for a sale. Dom Garcia is a very positive, enthusiastic person. He sees all the positives and not the negatives. Dom worked very hard to make the sale happen. He was always available to answer all my questions and take my phone calls all hours, day or night.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
Some combinations were just meant to go together. Burger and fries. Washer and dryer. At State Farm, there's another combination meant to go together, home and auto, as in combining your home and auto insurance with one agent, which leads to another combination, saving dollars and cents. Your State Farm agent is here to help life go right. Combine home and auto and see how much you can save. Call State Farm agent Jesse Dompre in Albuquerque today.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with ABQ Connect, Steve McKee, in our final segment. Steve, our state is trying to brand itself in competing with not only states, but countries around the world, trying to attract jobs, trying to attract people to live here and raise their families and do all those different things. You feel like, for example, the Department of Tourism and those folks are doing a pretty good job.
I do, and it's a difficult job because in a political environment, you know, it's very easy to say in with the new and out with the old when the administration changes. And the New Mexico True effort and campaign, which began, well, I guess, at the beginning of Susana Martinez's term, so that would be 9 years ago, is still going strong. Governor Grisham has left it in place and put a terrific director of the department in. And it has been working well. Now, it's subject to what we talked about earlier, that compared to everything out there, it's a drop in the bucket. But even the drop needs to be, you know, effectively executed. And they do a good job. It's been consistent. It's been well produced. It's beautiful. It represents our state well. And it merchandises our strengths as a state. Now, again, that's on the tourism side, where we have a lot to work with. On the economic development side, it's not so easy. But they're really, the thinking in that industry, they used to think of economic development and tourism as like two fundamentally different things, but they're really not. Not only because tourism is such a big industry in New Mexico, it creates a lot of jobs, but everybody who moves here is first a tourist. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of like our sampling program. You know, if you're considering, you may never even have considered moving your company or moving yourself to New Mexico, but you come here on a vacation and you're like, you know, that sky looks pretty nice, and it's December, and I'm kind of comfortable, you know, outside, except for this morning. And that's what happens. You know, a lot of people say, I first was a tourist here, and then we decided to move here. So it all runs together.
Well, and I think over the years that I've been here almost my entire life. I hear people that were deployed here at Kirtland Air Force mm-hmm. Base or at Cannon or down south. You know, we have several bases, even in on the border in El Paso, and they end up living in New Mexico because they just enjoyed the climate. They enjoyed the people. Everybody are really friendly. You know, if you're an outdoors person, I can't imagine a better state. I think Colorado's a little chilly. Obviously, beautiful mountains and all of that, but New Mexico has a flavor of all of it. You know, yeah. Beautiful high deserts, beautiful high mountains. I mean, there's just a lot here.
There is a truism in the economic development world, which is if you want to make it a great place for people to relocate, make it a great place for people to live, yeah. Which means, you know, as we lower our crime rate for our families, that also helps our tourism and our economic development. Right. As we recruit new companies here, lower our taxes, make the regulatory environment more friendly, that helps our families. It also recruits more companies here. It's just having the political will and the understanding to make the right decisions so that we make New Mexico more competitive.
And it all comes back to how we vote, Steve.
Always does. Yeah, we've been given the responsibility and obligation to – my favorite quote is from Joseph Stoll, who was the former president of Moody Bible College. And he said, the world is what it is because we are the way we are. That is so true. We have no excuse. If you as an individual are doing all you can put your head on the pillow at night and sleep soundly. If you're not, you should toss and turn a little bit.
Well, I understand that around New Mexico, we have some school districts that are performing a lot higher than, say, APS. I know very conscientious, very dedicated teachers throughout APS. I was raised in APS. I've been involved. My kids did not go to APS. They went to private school. And I was very happy with everything that happened in private school. But I know APS can be better, but it seems like it's so large a problem. I mean, where does each dollar go? And I'm not meaning to criticize any individual because the incumbent administration now inherited a bunch of issues.
That may be an issue for another show. It is not the people. The people are good-hearted and try. I mean, almost to a person, right? They care and they're so frustrated because of the constraints that are put on them. It's a structural issue. The problem is the structure. It's not the people. We tend to want to blame somebody. It's not the people. It's just not. The problem is the structure, and that's where we get into education reform and you start looking at incentives and the ability of teachers and principals to discipline kids, for example, to set their own policy for their local school districts, and their hands are tied. So my opinion is we need to address root and branch the structure of our educational system. It's not the people. They're really good-hearted.
Steve McKee, thanks so much for all your time this year. Merry Christmas.
Happy
New Year.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.